Let's go into the world this morning. Let's agree and pray. Let us go into the world. Let us agree and pray. But thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're looking at spiritual compass. Is that correct? Have you been learning something? You sure you've been learning something? Look, let's go all the way to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at John 8, 12. Look at John 8, 12. Now, so what it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, one of the things we have been looking at in this series is the fact that the believer is full of light. The believer is full of light. The believer is full of life. John 3:16. Can we quote John 3:16 together? One, two, three, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believes in him shall not perish but have. So once you believe, what do you have? Everlasting life. So by default, when you believe, you have life. By default, when you believe, you have life. You look at John chapter 2, chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, the first chapter. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 now says, in him was life. Okay? John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So who are we to believe in? The Son. Is that correct? Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, what do we have? Everlasting life. So look at John 1:4 again. So it says, in him, who is the him there? Jesus, the Son. In him was what? Life. Does it not make sense? The reason why you're receiving life is because life is in him. So when you believe in him, you receive life. Right? So in him was life. It now says something there. It says, the life was the light of men. So man in darkness needs light. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, verse 3, let there be light. Is that correct? Yeah? Let there be light, and there was light. Now we said that darkness as a concept does not exist in itself. Darkness exists when you take out light. So if I say shine darkness in this room, I'm just saying remove the light. Right? So when there was darkness on the face of the earth, what did man need? Or what did the earth need? Light. Right? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, he said, but if our gospel be he, it is he to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light. Altogether, the light of the glorious gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, 3. Right? It now says verse 6, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, or shine in our hearts. Praise God forevermore. So what do we receive when we receive Jesus? Light. Okay, life. Who say life first? Life, then light. So when a believer has life, what does he have by default? Light. So is there a believer that has life but doesn't have light? No. So a believer cannot exist without light, yet claim to have life. Because having life means you have light. So who lacks light here? No one. Right? Because you are a believer, you have light. Right? So the question now becomes, what are you doing with the light on your inside? You know, you find out that lots of believers struggle with the leading of the Spirit simply because they don't acknowledge what they have on their inside. You know, you can come into this room as a dark room and you shine the light from your touch, right? And what is the light supposed to give you by default? Clear view. Can we say direction? Can we say path? So if you walked into this room without the light on, And I asked him to go pick the microphone with the blue cover, with the green. So this is the microphone with the green label, right? And I dropped it randomly in the room, right? You know, you see, have you not found out that sometimes, oh goodness, this does not make sense in the UK, but it makes sense where I was born. So I was born in Africa, is that correct? Right? And where I was born, there's a way there will not be light, but your eyes can see. You know, it's not really until you're here. Yeah? Where we were born, there's a way a room is dark. You will shine, you will open the eye more. And you will see what you are looking for. You will see that. So that's a literal phrase. They say, shine your eyes. Right? But you see, in an environment like this, right, where there's usually light, more often than not, all you need to do is to flip the switch. Are we together? Right? So it means in our lives, there are various activities we need to do, or there are various things we need to do, or there are various things that before we do them, we should flip the switch. Did you get that? There are various things in our lives that before we're condemned, we should flip the switch. Right? Because the flipping the switch does not create light in the bulb. Hallelujah. Flipping the switch just allows light to be available. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? Light is already available in the show. When you put on the switch, what happens? You will not see light. Right? When you put on the switch, it is not your putting on the switch that generated the light. Are we together? Right? The light by default is available. So if I ask you to come into this room and go and pick this, there's every tendency that you will not know where to take this from if you don't have light. Right? So the believer is one to embark on the journey of life. Ensure that you always acknowledge the fact that you have light. Sometimes believers, why is they have light? So imagine a believer who has a phone with a what do you call it, a touch on their phone. Yeah, I believe strongly that touches that are added to phone were made for people from Africa. All together. Yeah? Because I don't realize who has to use a touch on your phone. Oh, this morning. It's like you're living in Africa. We need to check your house. You modeled your house to look like Africa. Right? More often than you know, sometimes I've not gotten used to the fact that I forget that I have a touch on my phone. Right? I forget sometimes. Maybe you're going out at night or something and you just need light. Just forget that you have it. And that's what a lot of believers, that's where a lot of believers find themselves. They don't always remember that they have light. And trust me, if you don't remember you have light, you will try to shine your eyes. And whilst you might look like you are heading towards the right direction, you just might miss a few things. I hope you know, if I were to walk from this point and walk around the entire church, right, with my eyes open, there's every tendency I'll still hit my leg. Some of you have your bags on the floor, for instance, and I might not see it. Particularly, for instance, the bag is black or it's very dark in color, right? So what does the believer need to always do? The believer needs to always acknowledge there's light on your inside. Say, there's light on my inside. Say, I'm not without light. So believers are not designed to live a guess war or live their lives based on guessing. Are we together? We don't guess to live our lives. We don't say, you know that thing we used to do. Ini, mini. Is it ini, mini, mani, mo? Mini, mini, mani, mo? Ini, mini, mani, mo? Yeah, I think you said it a few weeks ago. Ini, mini, mani, mo. Right? Father had a donkey. What's the next part now? Donkey died. Oh, I didn't even know. That's a good story. I didn't know it was a story. So what's the meaning of ini, mini, mani? It's just a chant. It's a chant. What do you call those things that we do? Incantation. So imagine you were to pick two options, this and this. Say, any mini animal, father had a donkey. Father, donkey cried, died, father cried. Any mini animal. Let's assume this is what you really, really wanted. Father died, donkey cried. Any mini animal. Right? Yeah, you now have to come back. You see, you are deceiving yourself. Are we together? That's how a lot of believers live their life. What does that mean? You know the end where you want to get to. You are only bringing it to God because you want God to validate what you wanted. Yeah. Yeah. You know what you wanted. Right? Yeah. But you wanted God to validate it. So what you're doing is you end up bringing to the forefront of God. Right? You see, God, I have two options. But God, you know in my heart that this is really the one I want. Lord, show me what do you want. You know, no matter what, it takes a very same believer to see what God wants that negates what he really wants and still go with it. Are we together? That's why we don't bring God into the picture when we have a decision. We bring God into the picture before the decision. There's a difference. Right? You don't bring God into the situation. So what we call supernatural combat, the question is, how do we navigate through life without being on the side of the guesswork? Without guessing. There are subjects as believers where you don't claim expertise on. You cannot claim to be an expert with the leading of the Spirit. Because the leading of the Spirit usually is something that you should acknowledge every second of your life. Praise God forevermore. Are we here? Right? So we don't justify the leading of the Spirit based on opportunities. Is that correct? Yeah? Or what you call superstition. Come together. You see, let me also add this clause. There is a materialistic part of the Christian faith that if you are not careful, will lead you away from God's will. Did you see what I did? What I just said? Did you hear what I just said? There's a, what is materialism? Materialism is that selfish nature in a man that wants to revolve and rotate and make sure everything ends up in proving that there's a gain material in anything they do. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, I said on Wednesday, right? You see some believers talking about, oh, you know, there's, you know, because my pastor said that there is this, you know, supernatural exemption, whatever name they call it, right? They fail to understand that life ideally should be lived with the supernatural and the physical. You understand what I'm trying to say, right? And I was saying to someone, I said, there are very, very few situations where the pastor of a church, right, when he communicates how things get to him materially, there are very few situations that would also apply to members of the church. What am I saying? I said that I ended the service on Wednesday that way. I was saying, how many people in your lives have actually given you a gift of £5,000? But you know, as a pastor, because of how much you are blessing to different kinds of people, when they receive certain things that they call material, whatever they call it, right? The first person more often than not, a good mind will think of as the pastor. So imagine three of you get £1 billion next week. I don't think three of you will take it. Say amen. Amen. You clue it. Imagine three of you get £1 billion next week, right? In your £3 billion, I don't think you will be looking for members who you can give to help. But you know your, how many billions do I call it? Okay, 3 billion is a lot of number, really. You know your 3 billion. It's too much, right? It's not too much. It's not much. Even your 3 billion, you know, if you were to give somebody at all any gift on your 3 billion, who would you give? The church now and your pastor. Me? That's even for that if you're not selfish. That's if you're not even selfish. Some people, yeah, you know, some people, they eat and they clean their mouth. So nobody knows what is happening. But how many times, let's assume you were to give, how many times do you see people take from that amount and give to other people just randomly? You know, it's very rare. So imagine me as a pastor, you got £1 billion. What's it? What's that of £1 billion? 10%. What? Let's use realistic numbers, please. Let's come down. So let's come down to realistic number, £1 million. Yeah, 1 billion is realistic, but let's just leave it for, you know, as we grow. As we keep serving Jesus, £1 million. What's that of £1 million? 100 million. 100,000 pounds. Right. If you gave me, amen, I receive and believe. If you gave me 100,000 pounds, you know, there's a way I will come to this pulpit and make you all of you that don't have that money to feel useless. So if God will meet you at the point of the need. You, that money only got to my pocket because I'm a pastor. There's certain kind of teachings we do as ministers of God that we are insulting our members. So an average member believes that leading of the Spirit must always have something that favors them financially. It's not true. You know, why do I say this in this way? So that when disappointments happen, you can handle it and manage it better. We're together. Yes, disappointment is something that will happen more than you can think. When it happens, what the believers are looking forward to is how can God get them to, you know, how can God prove himself by giving them some other financial. It's not always that way. It leads to frustration. You know, we have more Christians who are not doing well financially than Christians who are doing well financially. I hope you know that. to begin to say things like, they don't know what you know, you are being proud. You are being insulted. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Your father is the king. My father is the king. Okay? I get something. You don't get it. You are still suffering. What should you now say? Your father is the queen. Or you don't have faith. Always make your mind get to the right. You see, the result of listening to the leading of the Spirit, right? The proof or the evidence you should be looking forward to is the fact that your heart was yielded more in obedience to God. Not in the material result or what you call the material gain that you get from it. That's why we'll look at it on Wednesday. We'll look at it again today. So your theology, and let me say this very carefully. Some of us, when you listen to someone and listen to certain doctrines over and over again, right, you are going to be affected. Everybody is impressionable. You are not that strong. You are not that strong. Yeah, that's where the mind is. I'm going to find yourself doing certain things and you're asking, where did I learn that from? It's influence. So, you see, influence affects people in two ways, the subconscious and the conscious. More often than not, influence works closer to your subconscious than your conscious. It works more with your subconscious than your conscious because of how busy your mind can be. Right? So, when we talk about the leading of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit will not always be favorable to the eyes of man. Right? And it doesn't mean that if it's not favorable to you, then that means God, you see, you know, we say things to encourage ourselves, things like, yeah, when God shuts a door, he's opening another door. You know that kind of thing, right? Yeah, when God closes the door, it means there's another door he's planning for me. That's a materialism heart for the gospel. That's not true. That's not true. If you take statistics around the world, you will find that it can never be true. Right? That's why it's better for you as a believer to hold your heart and put yourself in the best place by just saying that, why did I obey the leading of the Spirit? It means I have an obedient heart. Be satisfied with that. Are we together? Be satisfied with that, right? Yeah, and ensure that you are not carried away. Let me ask you a question. How many people in this world are billionaires? I know when you talk billionaire, you're talking about one currency, US dollars. Is that correct? How many people in this world are billionaires? Less than 1% of this world. Right? Let's do the maths. What is 1% of this world? How many people do we have in this world? 31 billion. When did they multiply? Did they bet so much that I don't know how? Right? 8.1 billion. What is 1% of 8.1 billion? Billion. Remove 1 0 now. Yeah, what is 10% of? What is 10%? Okay, sorry, we're talking 8 billion. 800 million, right? When you remove another 1%, another zero, what is that? 80 million, right? So 80 million is 1% of 8 billion. Okay, so we have less than 1%. That means we have less than 80 million human beings. Is that correct? In the world and operate in the realms of billions. Okay. It's, you know, that is not for one part of the world, but around the world. Okay? And that percentage, how many can you say are known billionaires? Don't you know that saying less than 1% is just trying to be generous with numbers? Because there's no how we have 80 million billionaires in this world. It's not possible. Do you know what 80 million is? 80 million is 8 million in 10 places. The whole UK, what's the population of this country? 80 million. Are you here? The whole UK is 80 million. Right? And the UK can be termed as one of the countries that are doing well financially. Right? If you look at the percentage of that number in the UK, so what do you still be hearing what I'm saying? Say, come for me, jump over me. I'm trying to make you be realistic with numbers. Right? So if you look at, let's say bad as about 80 million, how many of them are devoted Christians? Let's take it this way. I believe most of us here have family members that are Christians. Most of us here have relatives that are Christians. How many of all our relatives in this room are equal to five in that full number? As a combined, not one person. Or bring your own. If you bring your own billionaire, let me bring my own billionaire. Yeah, how many of us in this room, if you combine? Let's even start. No, don't answer the question. No, ask yourself, who in your family is in that number? From the people you know, who in your family is in that number? Okay, let's leave family. Let's do extended family. Then let's go to second cousins. You know second cousin? Yeah, my father's brother is your brother's uncle's cousin. How many do you know in that number that are all Christians? Why do we think just like that? We're the ones that know the things that will keep us on track and to be exempted. We are exempted. Why am I saying these things? I'm saying, you know what it means to be able to gather £1 million? You know now? Okay, we don't know yet. We'll get there in the coming days. Right? Now think about how it is for people who are not, you know, I hope you know it's easier to gather money in this world and not be a Christian. One of the fastest ways to gather money is just denounce your faith. Is it not true? Because there are 101,000 things you can do. Now imagine what we have. So imagine the path that the Christians are limited to because we're Christians. Why am I saying this? Material prosperity, what people have thought as open door financially, work-wise, health-wise, all those things are not things you should use to validate you obeying God's voice. And we're together. If God asked you to leave this country and go to Australia, don't listen to that instruction thinking that God has a plan for you in millions there. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. The earlier you get this, the better. What does it help you do? You know, that's why I handle disappointment better. When I started understanding these things, it made me handle disappointment better. Do I believe the best of every situation? Yes. Am I expecting positive reply? I won't go into a situation and be expecting the worst to happen. But the truth is that no matter what they call the worst happening, my heart still remains fixed because I'm not going to allow my joy to be dependent on the things that I have or the things I don't have. If you can be living a very good life in the UK and God will ask you to go to Tanzania, and that's the will of God, and you go to Tanzania for the next 10 years, you might not be able to feed more than all the money you have in your account is just to feed your family. Let's look at scriptures. We saw that on Wednesday. Let's look at scriptures. Yeah, let's look at scriptures. Look at Acts that we saw on Wednesday. Luke 16, is that what we saw, right? In Acts 16. Then came Paul, don't forget, verse 39 of chapter 15. And the contention was so sharp between who, Paul and Barnabas, is that correct? That they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed towards Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. Verse 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named what? Timothy. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that I have a bias, but the reason I have this bias is because I'm a poor person. Altogether. What's the bias? The bias is this. The contention, I want to be very careful with my words. The contention that happened between Paul and Barnabas. Right? If I were to choose whose side, if I were to choose a side to stay on, who will I still be? I'll stay with Paul. It's my bias. I did not say God detested Barnabas. I did not say that. My bias is just really, because think about, see who he met on that journey. Timothy. And see how valuable Timothy was to his journey. And see how valuable Timothy is to us today. We don't have a book that Barnabas wrote alongside with who? John Mark. Is that correct? He would not have a book that was written as an epistle. So my bias will go towards Paul, right? Now, Paul, in the real sense, right, would find himself meeting a man called Timothy. I believe that was supernatural. Right? I believe that was supernatural. right? And if you look at how the scripture is tailored, particularly, you realize that there are some supernatural things that would have happened. You know, how we know at the end of Paul's ministry, he still recommended John. You know, we've talked that in local church series, right? He still recommended. But I'm talking about this part in this part in particular in Acts 15, right? Then they came to Lystra, and behold, there was a man called Timothy. Timothy was the son of a woman, which was Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren. Is that correct? Yeah? By the brethren that they were at Lystra and Iconium. Look at verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those what? Quarters. Reading the scriptures, right? Look at verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they what? They delivered them the decree for the king that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so when the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily, and when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in where? In Asia. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia and assayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Look at verse 8. And they passed through Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to who? To Paul. So was Paul still being led in his decision to go with Silas? Okay? So, how did Paul see this? How did Paul get this leading of the Spirit? Through a vision. Okay? So, can we have promptings of the Spirit in vision forms? Okay? Can you know what to do in a vision? Can you know what to do in a dream? Okay? So, it means that God can lead us through visions. Is that correct? But you know, the tricky thing about visions is that your interpretation from the vision will determine what you do with what God says about you or says to you. How do you know? Peter was sleeping one day, and what happened? A plate of four-footed beast came down to him. Is that correct? Right. And what did Peter say? What did Peter say? You cannot eat something that is unclean. What did the instruction in the vision say? Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Okay? What did Peter say? Four-footed beast, unclean. What was the instruction? Rise, kill, and eat. When Peter woke up, who did he meet? Unclean-footed beast. You know, right? Eh? He met unclean, four-footed beast. Right? So, look at Peter's interpretation from that dream. Peter saw animals. The conclusion was preached to the Gentiles. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is that correct? You know, if you are not somebody who is giving to the world, your conclusion from that dream might be God has called you to be a vegetarian. Are we together? Right? Yeah? God is asking me to be careful of meat. The instruction to rise, kill, and eat. How did Peter interpret it? Through the lens of the word. What was the conclusion preached? So it means not everything that is to be killed in your vision is to be killed literally. Let's assume Peter was to kill anything in the house of Cornelius. What was he going to kill? He was supposed to kill unbelief. Is that correct? Yeah? So was Peter supposed to rise, kill, and eat? Yes. He will rise, he will kill. What will he kill? Unbelief. What will he eat? Okay, let's say it that way. He will preach the gospel to them. Put it together. Right? But the dream went. So if you're not careful by looking at the word carefully, your interpretation of the dreams will be wrong. That's why you have to pay attention to the word. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it says a man's dream more often than not is as a result of the multitude of activities during the day. Sometimes when you dream, the first thing you do when you wake up is, what was the last movie I watched? Because you might be watching a movie and sleep up and they were chasing somebody. And the chasing just continued in your dream. They started chasing you. Yeah? And unfortunately, who you will see that's chasing in your dream might be somebody who you know physically. Now, put together. Yeah? And if you are from part of the world where I come from, the easiest kind of people are people in the... you got the word. Yeah? Everybody believes everybody wants to do them. Right? So everything you want to interpret. And imagine after you finish... Imagine after you finish that kind of dream. What happened? You now wake up. The first person that called you was the person that you saw in the dream. So, you know how you understand the Bible will help you interpret it. You're like, how did he know to call me? Someone wanted to just check to see if you are awake or if you are doing well. If you are awake or alive. So as for you, now begin to connect dots. That's why we say as preachers, we always say be careful with the dreams and how you interpret your dreams. Because you can have a dream or you want to call a vision and it can make you walk against the scriptures. So Peter was, Bible says, whilst Peter thought of these things, it's good to think on your dreams. Come together. Yes. Especially through the lens of the word. Peter was thinking on his dreams. And what happened? They got a knock at the door. Hallelujah. Right? It made it easier for him because he was thinking. And Peter what? He housed them and he went with them to go and meet Cornelius. That was an example of Peter being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Paul again. So Paul in verse 9 now says, and look at verse 9, Acts 16, 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. Right? Come over into Macedonia and help us. Let me ask you a question. Hold your hand in Acts 19 and go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something that will make us stop all this materialism gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the what? Churches of Macedonia. Let me ask you a quick question. If Paul is writing about the Macedonians, does it mean that Paul has spent time with them? Paul spent time with them. When did Paul meet the Macedonians? Acts 16. In 2 Corinthians, for Paul to be speaking about something about the Macedonians, it means he has known them. What was the man crying for in Acts 16? He should come and what? Help us. What did Paul say about the Macedonians in Acts 8? He says, verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. How did Paul know about the abundance of joy? He has spent time with them. How did Paul know about their deep poverty? You know, if you go to a place and they are poor, you will know. You know, correct? You will know. You will see what they are eating. You will see how they are eating. You will see how they are sleeping. You will see where they are sleeping. And Paul got to a conclusion and said, these people are in deep poverty. So what was the man calling Paul to do in Acts 16? To help them. Did they give them? Did they include financial help? No. Not together. So there was nothing about, you know, when a man of God comes into the environment, all the financial this thing change. It is not true. It is not true. Now we're together. So he says, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. So what is Paul teaching? Paul said of the truth, those people are full of the grace of God. In our generation, how do you know churches that are full of the grace of God? Look at their car park. Look at their LED screen. Is that not correct? You know, some people still believe that churches that have LED screen are enjoying supernatural grace. The churches that are meeting under the tree or in classrooms. No. God, are you really sure God's saying to you? And the classroom is 7 years running now. You're only 7 years on the classroom. Are you sure God will listen to you? You know, there's something about grace. Say grace. Yeah? There's something about grace. You know, in the Yoruba, they call it Ore Ofe. Have it together. Right? Yeah. Ore Ofe. Ore Ofe just really means that what? God is gracious to me. Let me tell you, dear saints, never understand God is gracious to you based on the job you got. Never understand God is gracious to you based on the house you bought. Never understand God is gracious to you based on the financial whatever you have in your account. Those things can fluctuate. Those things can change. There are people who lose all their financial benefit and everything in one sitting. I told of a brother who lost about £150,000 in less than one day. Together. Imagine as that money was given to £150,000. He kept saying, this is the grace of God out there working in my life. Oh, God is so gracious to me. What will he say when 150 becomes zero? God is not gracious to him, or God is disgracious to him? He can't understand the grace of God based on material things that fluctuate. Go together. So Paul said, these Macedonians, they are full of the grace of God. What did he yet say? He said they were full of joy. He now says they were in deep poverty. A Christian can follow Jesus and be in deep poverty. Don't insult people. Don't say that's not. You see, it's okay for you to be thankful wherever you are. But don't make people feel like they don't know what you know. You are being proud. You are being proud. It's a dangerous teaching, a dangerous doctrine, a dangerous conviction to have. Right? So why don't people have what you have? Maybe they are not listening to the end of the speech. That's terrible. It's not a good place to be. Jesus, it's not a good place to be. So, brethren had the grace of God, yet they were in deep poverty. Now, how did Paul, listen to what I'm about to show you, how did Paul get to know that he was supposed to go to Macedonia? Is that a spiritual compass? Is that a lean of the Spirit? So, was Paul led to the Macedonians? Did he obey?
Yes.
Did the lives change? Yes. Did their lives change? Yes. But did their financial status change? No. Was that, so was Paul in obedience? Yes, now. So Paul was in obedience. He went to Macedonia. Right? And what happened? Their lives changed. Since that, Paul now began to use the Macedonians to teach the Corinthians about generosity and joy. Go together. Paul said they have. He says, how in their great trial, that means they had trial. Were they going to trial? Can believers go through trial? You know, it's one thing for a believer in the church to go through trial. It's another thing for the whole church to be known as going through trial. It's one thing for, let's say, sparsely, some of us here are just going through trial. But so that they conclude that church is going through trial. A trying church. Yeah? It doesn't mean the name of a church. It can go great. The trying church. Design logo. Yeah? Nobody will go there. Was the chief city of the Philippi. Or the Philippi, rather. How did he say it again? Right? The Philippi was the chief city of the Macedonia, correct? Yeah? Do you know there's no other epistle that has the record of joy as much as Philippians? Yes, they were going through trial. My dear saint, wake up, oh. Wake up, oh. Wake up, oh. Trials. Nobody is exempted from trial in this life. Why am I saying it this way, teaching it this way? So that you can handle disappointment in the future. Ladies, what I'm saying is prophetic. Are we together? It's not a curse. It is reality. Are we together? They were going through trials. Bible says that, but yet there was the abundance of joy. Happy you to be known as one who is full of joy, regardless of what you are going through. Are we together? Happy are you? You know, I told you a couple weeks ago, right? In organization, right? Type and shadow. Bringing down over 20 project managers to less than how many? And in that decision, what happened? You cannot tell when I was going through that in my work when I came here. Why? Because my joy is not linked to my job. If a job goes today, I know it might come tomorrow, it will come tomorrow. Are we together? That's why when you say when you get a job, is it going to rejoice? Yes. But don't allow that job allow you to rejoice more than how you will rejoice when they tell you God is gracious to you. Or listen to me now. I didn't know that Christians among the 24 that were bringing down that lost their job. How would their pastor preach to them? Do it, Mitari. Wait for it. It will not be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. My dear brother and sister, what I'm trying to teach you is that it might be long. Amen. It might be long. Get your expectations in check. Your leading of the Spirit must not end with a conclusion based on the material things that comes with it. Are we together? Happy are you that you're going to try and try and tribulation? Nobody sees it on your face. Happy are you that you're expecting, you're looking forward to a good news? Nobody sees it on your face. Happy are you that, you know, things might be going very difficult in the home front, in the house front, within your relatives, with your family, with your work. But guess what? You're standing in abundance of joy. So that Paul will look at you and say, whilst he's in deep poverty, he is yet in joy. He is yet a joyful man. He is yet a joyful woman. We're looking at joy next month. We're going to look at joy next month. Right? What is true joy for the believer? Are we together? Right? No matter the circumstance that comes to you, you're always joyful. You always derive joy from the fact that you obeyed Jesus. If Jesus said, go left, and as soon as you went left, you lost your house, you lost your car, you lost the way. There's a man that passed in Nigeria, bless his, one of the fathers of faith in Nigeria, Reverend Umar Akpai. You know, I spoke about him a lot in the last 1 year. A whole lot in our teachers spoke about him in the last 1 year. A man who was going to preach, and on his way to preach, right, he's the car with his children got inside a river. Two children, and the other father tried to save them, another car knocked them. Two of them died in 1 day. Guess what? He continued preaching. What I'm talking to you, I started hearing this over 15 years ago. And he stayed preaching the gospel for 60 years of his life. You think he didn't go through things? A day or two before he passed, was he sitting down somewhere preaching? Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that where he was going to minister, he was led by the Spirit? Do you know if he didn't go there to minister, he would have lost his children that way? But guess what? He was going to minister. What needs to lose two children in 1 day? Another man, Debo, he said, what encouraged him when he lost his son was the story of Reverend Umar Pai. How much is for you to have a son in his 40s, right? And he just finished speaking to you on a Sunday evening, right? Oh, the ministration was beautiful. And he slept on Tuesday and didn't wake up. And yet, Pastor Debo, he keeps going. That's true joy. Do you know that he might have been going through different difficulties? He would have been going through difficulties. The only reason you know about this is son is because it is his son and it came to public news. Don't always think people who are serving Jesus, obeying God's leading, are enjoying the comfort of their home. How together? Oh, what a joy it is that you see a man like that. He lost four people in a day. Two of them were his children. I think two of them were maybe his relative or cousins or something like that. I can't remember the full story. Two children in one city. Do you know what it is to lose two children in 1 day? You will find cry, it will not come. That's what I always tell you. You see, let your life be so revolved around the things of God such that nothing happens to you and take you away from God. Either you give birth to triplets or you give birth to two children or five children. Someone was saying to me the other time that they are praying for me to have their kind of child. I've seen in this life. And they are praying for me to have your kind of child. So I've been praying for you, Pastor. I want you to have just one. God to give you one of this. So when they found out my wife was pregnant, they said, oh, we've been praying. Right? You know, I did not say what I want to say. Right? What were they trying to communicate? They're trying to communicate that their child is like 10 children. So if God give me one like that, I can drop my service to God. You know, sometimes when some people pray that kind of prayer, you don't be speaking in tongues. No. It will not be. Speak it for me. Yeah. I'm saying to you, whether you have a child that is like tenfold, you know, some children, they are handful. Some are tenfold. Some are ten hands full. No matter how many hands they have, never allow anything to change your conviction about your service to God. Never allow anything else to validate if you are obeying the leading of God's Spirit. It's a place. So you will go into situations in your life. You will go through serious trials in your life. But regardless of what comes out, regardless of the what you call the result, the Macedonians were in deep poverty. Go back to Acts 16. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from trials, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, is that correct? And the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of the Macedonians, and the colony. And we were in that city abiding for how many days? 13 days. Let's keep reading verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, right? Which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken to Paul, of Paul. Verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if we judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray. Now, hold on. This prayer journey, what led to this prayer journey? The vision that Paul had to go to Macedonia. Move on. So, is Paul in the will of God? Did Paul obey God's voice? Okay? Now, look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with what? A spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. You know, that's a soothsayer. Is that correct? The same followed Paul and us, and Christ saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And these did see many days. But Paul, put together, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that same hour. Look at verse 19. And when our master saw that hope of their gains was gone. What is hope of their gain? Remember, they were getting gain from our soothsaying. So the master that realized they've carried this spirit of division out of this woman who were in trouble. What did they do? Look at it now. He says, then when they saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and they drew them onto the marketplace, unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. What trouble were they giving? Giving salvation, casting out demons. Some people say that is trouble. What now happened to them? Right? And they are teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. Look at verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Yet the verse says, beat them with what? Rod. I hope you know, when they beat you in that generation, not the same in this generation. You know how they beat Jesus? Just forget about it, you cannot relate. I'm together. Yeah? If you look through history and see the kind of rope they used to flog Jesus, those kind of ropes they used to wrap people. And this kind of rope that when they flogged it, rolls around you, then they drag it. Instead of saying, ah, you see, you serve Jesus, you are not serving Jesus. You are serving Jesus, thank God. Yeah? I'm saying, see what somebody went for your sake. You see, ah, just to think of the flogging. You say, ah, the pastor tells you to come to church and you say the man is not serious. The pastor says you serve Jesus, will tell you that you say the man doesn't know what he's saying. You say you are not at that phase in life. Eh? And when we're telling you, they flog you. You say, how? I just talked about one flogging. You know how many times they flog Jesus? Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Did they flog Jesus? Was Jesus at the will of the Father? Was Jesus at the center of the will of God? So when did we teach this nonsense doctrine? That to prove you are in alignment with God's will, there must be something favoric about it, something materialistic about it. There's a gain about it. It doesn't mean you should not hope for the gain about the future. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, let me tell you, the journey will not always be smooth. Look at what did Paul do. Paul went to cast out demons. You are preaching somebody on the road today, they say you should get off. They use the F word on you. You say, no, I'm not going out again to preach. They just told you, get out of there. Do you know what? See, when you stop preaching because someone told you, get out of there, you have a problem. Are you with me? You go to a place, they reject you. So, this is why you're asking us to go and preach. It's not my, there's a word you call it, it's not my nurture, it's not my fortune. What's that word? Forte. It's not my, that's not where I'm called. Pastor, I'd rather preach with my life. My lifetime. If I give God my life. They just asked you. I've spoken to people before and they've insulted me now. Imagine I say, my business. This place that I mean. Because I do. My parents don't even know where I am. Yeah? There's sometimes when you're going to preach, you share your life location with people. So if they beat you, they can locate you. They beat you to locate you. Hallelujah. Right? What am I saying to you? Let me tell you. The journey in following the name of the Spirit will not always be smooth. Paul got to a place. He saw a demonic oppression. You know, a lot of people will not cast out that demon because they are scared of beating. When they will see the demon, they will carry their face away. It's giving us a spirit to trample upon somebody like a scorpion. And he's saying, it's by shouting nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt him. The question to you today, my dear saint, is, what exactly is your mindset around the leading of the Spirit? Don't always think comfort. Leading of the Spirit doesn't always come with comfort. Amen. You will leave your comfort zone. I told you how we came to the UK, right? We left out to leave my comfort zone. That's why you're here today. So it's very, very important for you as believers to always acknowledge one fact. That no matter how tough the journey gets, God is with you. You see, that's what you should remind yourself about, that God is with you regardless of the circumstances you go through. Not that God is with you because it opened up a supposed favored door. No, that's not always the case. It also means that there are other people, right, who go into certain locations and some sort of financial... You know, there are different parts of... Let me ask you a question. Do you know if you pastor in Edinburgh, and a pastor in a place, let me not call it city, you will not expect the same kind of people in your church. Excuse me. There are villages on your road to Sterling. I didn't call any place, on your road to. Yeah. There are villages after that when you go to and you see the church there, the people who will attend your church are not the people you will find in Edinburgh City. The ones that are there, more of them might not be working. They are of age and they are collecting pension. If they are to gather their best of generosity and give you, what you will get is not what you will get if they are working, if you are having a church in the city of Edinburgh where everybody around you is working. Are you with me? If God sends a man to Edinburgh and God sends another man to Afghanistan, the result you should be looking forward to is, are they in obedience? Not the one that came to Edinburgh in 3 weeks, he has bought a cathedral. You will buy a cathedral based on the people you are pastoring. No, if I come to your church, I don't have money. No matter what you preach, I cannot drop anything. Do you understand? No matter what you preach, God knows the cheerful giver. I'm saying all my cheerful giving is no more than 50p. You get? So you cannot begin to validate. That's why you see a lot of we as ministers, we are always looking for where is it going to favor us materially. Are we together? Yeah? God may ask you to go to Scotland, but is it Edinburgh God asks you to go to? Is it Glasgow God asks you to go to? Yeah? Is it Dundee? Must it be a major city? Are there not souls in cities that are not major? What can lead a man out of UK and go to Iran? The UK in the 1930s to come to Nigeria. His wife just passed recently. Is his wife or his daughter? Daughter, right? His daughter just passed recently. After over seven, what am I saying? After over almost 70 years in Africa. Are we together? Are you saying God did not lead them to Nigeria? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you expect them to interpret the leading of the Spirit when that their decision to go to Africa was not something they left the comfort of their environment that was working to go to Africa? John G. Lake left the comfort of his life, of his house, to go to West South Africa. Are we together? It's the leading of the Spirit. But what do we want to hear today? No, when God shut this door, it means the other door is open. Yes, the other door is open, but it's not as you think. It's not as you expect. You know you can lose a job, right? And the next job you got is not that easy. And the next job you get for the next 10 years, none of them is better than the one you lost. Are you with me? Are you following me? Yeah? I have a friend like that. Working in one of the top companies in the world, not in the country he was in. And what happened? All of a sudden, he just came and they wiped him. After almost 1 year of looking for a job, he didn't get a job. If only finally he got, was paying him less than half of what he was earning before. This is 3-4 years down the line. Don't be trying to encourage yourself into materialism gospel. When God shuts this door, that door will open. It's not true. It's not taught in the Bible. Are we together? Paul will find himself in Macedonia. You know, so Paul obeyed the voice of God to be beaten. Is that not true? Paul obeyed the voice of God to be flogged. That means there are days you obey the voice of God and what you end up seeing is flogging. If you're a Christian and you still say, God forbid, that means you don't have a good pastor. And what I'm just saying is I'm not a pastor. Amen? If you're a Christian, what I just said right now, you can obey the voice of God and get to a place and you receive beating. They will deck you, your face will change, all your makeup and mascara. If they will not, when you go to put makeup, you don't know where to start from. You say, God forbid, I'm not your pastor. You know, kind of beating, they will beat you, they will use axe to touch your face, use ori to do this, then use eyes, then use hot water, then use deep heat. Then you, and eventually, you are in the will of God. How do you expect Paul's face to have looked like when mass beating? You know, when we're growing up, our parents used to beat us one after the other. If you are here, your parents, two of them beat you at the same time, you were trouble. You were a case. How can two parents beat one at the same time? Yeah, either the mom is in front beating or the dad is in front beating, the mom is watching. I know when any of them is beating, the other party is always beating. Even though it might be the other party that reported them. Yeah? I remember one day my dad was beating me. My mom was just like, ah, what's it told? You know, it's told you, right? It's okay. In my mind, I was like, when I reported me to him, Why are you saying he's okay? You reported me to him. He didn't report his friend. And my dad then, my dad beat you. That's why my head is correct, though. I think one night I lied. That's why my head is correct. And my dad beat you. My dad can beat you. He can remove this cable. And he will beat you. Pieces it on your body. I'm not saying you can't beat your children like that, though. And the next day, he will buy a new one. You know, it's always better when they beat you after punishment than before punishment. Choose your battles. If they beat you before punishment, you're in trouble. Because the pain you are still feeling, I know punishment is not kneel down now. Punishment is, how many of you did this? Obasanjo, Mashe. How many of you did pick-pin? You did pick-pin, huh? Yeah? How many of you did frog jump? We did all manners of things. I think we grew up in barracks. Yeah? I'm not saying that's the only way to train children, but there are some that require that. That's the truth. Right? If you don't give them, they will spoil your hand. Amen? Amen? I think I don't think I've messed up already. But you know, eventually, what will happen? If you find out that that is from a place of love, what does it do? It helps you. You heal faster. Like I said, it's not everybody that you treat that way. What am I saying? If you've experienced that kind of flogging from one person, imagine when a community jumps on you to beat you. And when they say, what did you do? Diplomat is bending and say, I casted out demon. They cheated your job. And what they say, when you get to the police station, they say, write your statement. Write your statement. What, what are you writing there? You say, I was just showing spirit of divination and I casted out the demon. Are we together? Now, that's not the end of it. Look at the next verse. Verse 23. And when they have laid many stripes upon them, what happened? They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, throws them into the inner prison and made their feet fast to the stone. That means they caged them. Are we here? What happened in verse 35? And at midnight, what happened? Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So what was the slant of Paul and Silas in the prison? They prayed, they praised, they sang. Amen. 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 Praise God forever, man. They prayed, they praised. What's the opposite of praise? Complain. Murmur. Are we together? Are we together? What do you not do as a believer, regardless of the circumstance you find yourself? Complain. Murmur. If it was a lot of believers that this happened, so what they'll be saying is, Macedonia. What did they say? What did they say? When did you send us to Macedonia? Other cities. Are they not other cities? Why did you give us power to cast out the money? You know, that's how believers respond to situation. Let me ask you a question. You know that a lot of believers, if they found themselves in a position where when they got into Macedonia, the king and the president and the chief rulers came to the gates and welcomed them with purple mats. What would they say? Of the truth, God sent me here. Yeah? For the Bible says, you stand before kings and not men. Men. You with me? I'm trying to teach you how believers misinterpret the Bible to make their hearts feel at peace. Right? Peter went to meet Cornelius. Cornelius went, sent men ahead. Cornelius saw Peter and went to bow his head to Peter. Right? Are we together? Right? That means Cornelius welcomed Peter. Is there everywhere Peter went to that was welcomed? No. Eventually, Peter was killed. Are we here? That means Peter went to places he was rejected, but yet, right in those places, he was at the center of the will of God. Paul got to a city. They beat him up. Right in the beating. Let me ask you about Stephen. What was Stephen doing in Acts 7? Stephen was preaching the gospel. Is that the will of God? What did they do? They stoned him till he died. What did he say? Forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. That's the heart of the believer. Once you see a believer going to trial tradition, say, hey, God, which one is this one that you brought me to? Particularly when God led them into that situation. That's somebody who has not paid attention. You've paid attention to a false doctrine, a wrong doctrine. The doctrine that teaches people, that teaching of comfort, is not the gospel we see from the Bible. Are you with me? The gospel that teaches that everything about your Christian life comes with comfort is a demonic gospel. It's of the devil. And what he's doing with this gospel is to make us become complacent. Because when you are complacent, what will happen? You will not even reach out to the lost and preach to people. If your heart is always looking for comfort, there are many places you will not preach the gospel. There are many people you will not speak to about the gospel. So what must the Christian always remember? That regardless of whatever the circumstances, God is with me. Stephen got himself to go and preach. He was preaching. They were stoning him, he was preaching. They were stoning him, he was preaching. What he never did was to be what? Voicing out and say, God, you abandoned me. You leave my soul in this place. So, God, how would I deal with this kind of thing? That's not how Peter viewed it. You know, you can, let me say this clearly. You know, this is point A. Everyone look at me, please. This is point A. This is point B. This is point A. This is point B. You know that God can want you to go to point A, right? And point A is where they will flog you. They eventually go to point B. They go to point B, they receive you. You know, they stay out of God's will. You know, you can actually also want to go to point A. See what I'm trying to say to you? You can go to point A, and they don't flog you there, but they welcome you there. And you go to point B, and they flog you there. You are still out of God's will. With the flogging, they still flog you outside God's will. That's why it's always important. So that when you go to point A and they flog you, your mind is at shore, is at rest. That God is with me. I'm doing the will of the Father. I'm together. There's stories in the Bible that shows that by listening to the leader of the Spirit, you can find us. You know, Joseph's leading of the Spirit and how we got to the palace is not going to be the story for everybody. If God can take Moses, if God can take Joseph, it's not always going to be the same for everybody. More often than not, it will not be the same for everybody. Why am I saying this to you, dear saints? Always remind yourself that the result you get from obeying God is the fact that you are an obedient child. Let that be what comforts your mind, that you are an obedient child. I hope you also know that when Paul and Silas got into the prison, what did they do?
They prayed.
They prayed. They sang. What again did they do? They preach now. Okay, look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. So the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors were open, right, he drew out his sword and would kill himself. Was that? The person who was supposed to be guarding the prison door, he slept off. Right? And as he woke up, what happened? All the doors were open. What now happened? He wanted to what? Kill himself. Why? Because he'd rather kill himself than to go through the slow death of the punishment of what he has done. What did Paul now say? Paul cried out in verse 28 with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before what? Paul and Silas. Verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour in the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set me before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told them, saying, "Paul, the magistrate have sent you to let go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." And Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do trust us in privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." Do you understand what is happening? Right? You cannot beat us openly. I want to forgive us privately. Right? And the servants told these words unto the magistrate, and they feared when they had heard they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Is that the same Lydia? And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and what? Departed. All in the leading of the Spirit. Say, "I'm led by the Spirit." Say, "I'm led by the Spirit." Say, "I know the leading of the Spirit will not always come with comfort. But I rejoice." Say, "I rejoice. I rejoice in the fact that I am. I rejoice in the fact that I am obedient to God's voice. Praise God forevermore. So the word of God leads us, the inward witness leads us, like we said over time, right? And we need to ensure that we are not getting ourselves in trouble, getting a harsh trouble because of the circumstances we find ourselves when we obey the voice of God. Say, I obey God's voice. Say, I obey God's voice. Say, I yield to the Holy Ghost. Say, I yield to the Holy Ghost. So we've taught ourselves, as a church, taught ourselves rather, right? We don't yield or we don't allow superstition to lead us. You know what superstitions are? What are superstitions? Myths that people believe in. You know, some people say, when you scratch your hand, money is coming. Yeah, I scratch my hand, plenty, plenty, plenty. I've not seen money. And people say that when you fall down, what is when you fall down? When you hit your legs, that is about to happen. Something is supposed to have opened your eye and see when. No, think about it now. If I'm walking on this road, far from this chair, will I hit my leg? So people begin to have superstition belief. There are other superstitions people believe in. Give me some examples.
When beds pull on your head.
When bed pour on your head. What's the meaning of that?
Something
good coming. And that's what's going on. Money is coming. So when pull of bed falls on your head, something good is coming. What you look for bed that wants to pour? Putting your head on that so that it should touch your head. What again? Don't sleep with a mirror. So when you want to sleep, you turn your mirror to the wall. Okay, so what's the implication of that?
Demons
come out from mirrors. You don't step on small stones. You don't step on what happened, your leg will grow. Oh, the person's death. Okay. It will shock you that you will go around the world, different cultures, different places, they have their superstitions. I hope you know believers revolve their life around those things. All together. Yeah? Revolve their life. So people now use opportunities to find out if God is leading them. You know, people have gotten married that way. God, as I'm going out today, the first lady that smiles at me, that's my wife. Yeah? The first man that smiles at me, that's my what? Husband. God now bless you that the person that slides at you, the gender is the boat. And eventually, that becomes your partner. How would you recover now? You that you were thinking that you were being obedient to God's voice. You know, you can't afford to have, you can't afford to allow yourself to be led by opportunities. Praise God forevermore. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Say, God's voice leads me. Praise God forevermore. One of the things, I'll start closing right now. One of the things you must ensure that you do as a believer is to grow scripturally. Right? You grow scripturally. You grow scripturally because your growth in scripture will help you to give meaning to the leading of the Spirit. I'll say one more time. Your growth in the Word will help you to give meaning to the leading of the Spirit. We're together. Your growth will help you to give meaning to the leading of the Spirit. So ensure you always remind yourself to study God's Word. That's one of the fundamental ways that you would understand God's voice. Like I said over time, God will not lead you to be taking, God will not lead you in a way that would negate God's word or his word. What does that really mean? It means that you can't be led to steal somebody's Bible. You can't be led to steal somebody's car. You can't be led to steal somebody's pen. You can't be led to steal somebody's wife. Hallelujah. Amen. People steal people's wives and husbands. You can't be led to steal somebody's partner. Are we together? You can't be led that way because God's word is already clear. Are we together? Right? When the Bible talks about a bishop must be a husband to one wife, right? And a wife to one husband. What is that really saying? The bishop, you know, I hear people teach that scripture in very interesting ways. You know, I heard someone say recently, says the only reason why somebody can choose not to marry more than one wife is if they want to become bishops. But if you don't want to become a bishop, you are free to marry any man. You see, people are very manipulative. You forget that a bishop should be an example of who you can become. I always tell you, your pastor is an example of who you should become years from now. Years from now, you should not be one who is still being fed and fed alone. You should have those who you are feeding. That's pastoral oversight. And if we have our minds fixed on what God is doing on the earth through each and every one of us, it will help us to realign our conduct and our character. You can't be led to do things evil. Imagine someone wakes up and says, God led me not to forgive you. Are we together? God says to me that, don't forgive that lady, don't forgive that brother. It's part of God's will, it's part of God's word. So when you pick the leading of the Spirit and put it side by side with God's word, and it negates God's word, one has to bend for the other. Or it means that you might need to re-examine your interpretation of what you saw. Are we together? Just for instance, Peter saw rice killing at it. Killing as it were negates God's word. But imagine Peter's conclusion from rice killing and eat is go and be killing those who are not born again. What does Peter need to do? Change his interpretation of the leading. In the coming days, I trust and believe that we will have more people who are realigning themselves to God's instruction. That we'll have more people who are realigning themselves to God's will. Putting the leading of the Spirit as the fulcrum of their decisions. Everything that they are doing. Yeah? Truth also remains that the leading of the Spirit can make you avoid costly errors. Are we together? Right? But you must know the difference between costly errors and what circumstances bring you away. You know, the leading of the Spirit can take you away from errors. There are people who have gotten themselves involved in relationships they should not have gotten themselves involved in only because they disobeyed the leading of the Spirit. Lift your hand and say today, from today, I will yield to the Spirit of God. From today, I will yield to the promptings of the Spirit. From today, I'm obedient. From today, I remain obedient to God's leading.